You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Lent is the season before Easter, 40 days long, not counting the Sundays. For some reason or other, they have become the Sundays in Lent rather than the Sundays of Lent. I've heard people say, Lent isn't what it used to be. The New York Times, in a report on Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent, solemnly announced it to be a season in which the Church has offered many spiritual and social programs. The idea of Lent was that it was to be a penitential season, when people took a good hard look at themselves and the role that they, along with all the rest of humanity, played in bringing Christ to his cross. The purpose of the season is certainly not to indict the Romans or to excoriate someone else, but to look at oneself closely and to see oneself as a sinner, a suppliant, needing the forgiveness of God, and asking for the forgiveness that is so dramatically the result of the cross of Jesus Christ. When it comes right down to it, Christ himself is the center of meditation during Lent. He is the focus of all eyes in that last struggle with the world, the flesh, and the devil in what has often been called Holy Week, which is actually the hinge of history, opening the door on a tomb from which the stone has been rolled away. Lent is not just for observance. Lent is for life. Life is the goal of it all. Life is the prize in this race for the souls of people. Jesus knew that all along. In his ministry, he confronted the devil personally. Jesus found him, as we do too, not as a fiendish fellow dressed like a fool. Actually, the devil has the manners of a finishing school, along with the intellect of a graduate student who's just finished his doctoral dissertation. He doesn't need to take a back seat to anyone when it comes to a slick argument. If you are the Son of God, said the devil, just order these stones to become bread. Jesus answered and said, It is written, a human being will not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes through the mouth of God. Lent is for life. Lent has a purpose. Jesus recognized the purpose of life, the challenge of it all. Lent is a time to remember once more what life is all about. Bread is important. Making a living is important. Work is important. Using the resources God gives you is important. But bread, making a living, working, and making the best possible use of the resources God gives you are not all important. Of course, that sounds like heresy to a lot of people these days, perhaps to most people. It's like downgrading the grist of life, disparaging the stuff which has become the substance of political campaigns, economic issues, social concerns, and all the other shibboleths of the modern world. Actually, the passage that Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy 8:3 about bread not being everything does not downgrade anything. It exalts God and his word above everything else. It emphasizes what everybody knows deep down inside but would like to hide away or sweep under the rug. That way people don't have to face the guilt feelings they have. They're not forced to recognize their responsibility to God. And in an offhand way, they treat God as if he does not exist. They know he does exist, but they often act as though he doesn't. If God does not exist, or if he can be safely disregarded, life becomes something like arm wrestling. You win some and you lose some. If you meet someone who wrestles you down, that's too bad. If you find someone whom you can defeat, that's triumph. If the Blues win, the Reds lose. If one candidate wins the election, the other one loses. If one group wins a victory, the other suffers a defeat. At Waterloo in Belgium, the Duke of Wellington and his allied armies won a great victory in 1815. Napoleon was defeated. That event has become a part of the lore of the world, and people today say about contests held in our time, that was his Waterloo, his big defeat. It looked like utter defeat that day when the principal participant in a great event died on a hill outside the walls of Jerusalem. It was the crucifixion of Jesus of Nazareth. It's not hard to imagine how the devil felt that day. He and his host probably conducted a victory celebration, shouting, "We finally did it! We got rid of him for good!" Friends laid the limp, lifeless body of Jesus in a grave, to decay like all the others before him and all the others after him. His followers had believed he was the Messiah. Their hopes were dashed. He had met, so to speak, his Waterloo. No one hails the executioners of Jesus today. Countless millions of people across the world sing during this season of Lent, "All hail the power of Jesus' name." Jesus did not use brute force or military might. He had a powerful weapon, a much more powerful weapon. "Father, forgive them," he said, "for they do not know what they do. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Jesus was vindicated by God, his Father, whose will he obeyed to the bitter end. Jesus committed everything to God. Even in death, he bore the sins and the sorrows of humanity, turning death itself into victory and life. People all over the world observe Lent in the light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. People remember, "Dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return," in the light of the victory of Jesus Christ over sin, death, and the devil. Death could not hold him, and the devil could not defeat him, because he was the beloved of his Father, doing the will of his Father, obedient even unto death. For that his Father gave him a name above every name. By his death and his resurrection to life, Jesus overcame death and made life real again for everyone who believes in him. "I am the resurrection and the life," he said. Jesus, talking to the devil out in the wilderness, told him, "A human being simply cannot live by bread alone. He lives only by every word that comes forth through the mouth of God." The word of God bluntly says, "We have sinned and come short of the glory God has a right to expect of us." Everybody knows the hurts and fears, the pains and problems which arise in human lives because of sin. We have seen dramatic examples of sin in our own time, and how fruitless it is to cover up sin in last desperate attempts to avoid saying what all of us have to say, each one for himself, "I'm sorry." That's repentance. It is real life. It is truth asserting itself. David said to God in his well-known 51st Psalm, "You desire truth in the inward parts." That he does. You can try to bluff it out with God, but it won't work. Real life won't let you get away with it. No cover-up will do. Professing the sins of others instead of your own sins does not fool God and will not put him off. Face God now with confession of your sins, or face him later in judgment. In real life, God will not let you go, unwitting and unconcerned, unloving and unforgiven. God will not let you go. Christ will not let you go. Truth will not let you go. No one can get away. God will get you, one way or the other. We can excuse ourselves. We can explain ourselves. We can try to justify ourselves. But don't be deceived. God is not mocked. God knows what he's doing. He reaches out to you today with the most loving hand you will ever experience in your whole lifetime. He touches you, drawing you back from all those preoccupations with the unimportant, all those fanciful delusions with which people try to cover up. This is the message from God to you. Repent. Turn away and turn to me. Turn away from yourself. And turn to the living God. God calls you to life. In his hand is the gift of life, with forgiveness of your sins freely given for the sake of Jesus Christ. With the gift of love you can freely give for the same reason, for the sake of Christ. God calls for change from preoccupation with bread alone to genuine occupation on the ground of life. Life comes as a gracious gift to take the place of what you may always have looked upon as life. What a change there is in the discovery of the secret hidden from the ages, but now disclosed to the whole world in the face of Jesus Christ. God loves as only He can love. God does not give up. God reaches out to grab your hand and to draw you to Himself with faith in that Son whom He sent to redeem the world, dying and rising again from the dead to be your Savior. Forgiveness is His to give. He gives it for the sake of that Son who died for your sins. He gives life with love toward that Son who was raised from the dead by the glory of His Father for just this purpose. The purpose of life is change. Change in your life. Lent is for real life. It comes to grips with the passion and pilgrimage of Jesus, with its compelling, inviting, and gripping message of forgiveness and life. In the old days, people often gave up something for Lent to prove to themselves that they could live for 6 weeks without chocolate or cigarettes. They felt they ought to give up something for Christ. Actually, Christ calls upon people to give themselves up for Him, to give up whatever keeps driving them toward death and self-destruction, whatever gets in the way of complete joy and fellowship in Christ. Christ calls you to give in to Him and to get up and go for Him, not going back once Lent is over, but going forward, change yourself and changing the world around you. Lent is for champions. It's not just an exercise to see if you can do it. It is for people in every age to receive the grace of God anew and to be renewed by that grace in Jesus Christ, compelling and powerful to meet every need and every challenge. As Jesus said to the devil, it is written, God will put you in the care of His angels. They will take you up in their hands, and you will never stub your foot even against the stone. That's Psalm 91 talking. It's the Word of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth through the mouth of God. Jesus says it, and Jesus puts His whole authority behind it. Lent is for champions who dare to do for God. They worship God rather than the idols of power. They worship God for His grace and His wisdom. They accept that He knows what He's doing, and that He does it with great understanding and kindness. Lent is for life, including the worshipful spirit that's willing to work in the name of God, who gave His Son Jesus Christ to bring a breath of fresh air to our stale old world. The cross of Christ is not a magic wand. It's the sign of God that He wants to save the world. He wants to save you. He wants to save everyone. Jesus received His crown by enduring His cross. He expects His followers to do no less. St. Paul said once, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's worship. And worship is the ground of work. The last word of Jesus to the devil in the wilderness was, you will worship the Lord your God, and Him alone will you serve. The angels liked that. They came right away and served Jesus. When He was on His way to His cross, those same angels stood by Him. Jesus doesn't ask you to die and rise again without Himself dying and rising first. First the cross, His cross, and then the crown, His crown. We can't forget Him. He's the ground of faith, and He's the light of love. He's everything. Lent is for worshiping Him, taking His hand, not so much to help Him as to be helped by him. He can take care of himself, but he will most certainly take care of you. Because of him, we observe Lent. Lent is for life. Lent is a real challenge for real change. And it is for real champions. Lent is for getting a good grip on Jesus Christ, for renewing faith in Jesus Christ, for developing a more willing obedience to Jesus Christ, for learning to love Jesus Christ with a whole heart, and for enjoying the peace that life can give in Jesus Christ. Lent is for life, worshiping God and serving Him. No man lives by bread alone. The Word of God feeds real life. The angels of God attend His own. Why be afraid? Son or daughter of the living God, by faith in Jesus Christ, worship the Lord your God and serve Him as the one and only who comes to give you life, real life. In repentance and faith, serve the living God. That's the real Lenten observance. Lent is for life. Amen.